good morning and welcome to the Monday Recap. My name is Dre Clark and I'm the discipleship pastor here at Grapevine's First Baptist Church. And I am joined today with our senior pastor, Dr. Doug Page, who is leading us in a series right now through 1 John. And so, Doug, we would like to just hit on yesterday's message. We were in chapter 1 into chapter 2, our second message through the book, our third message of the series. Give us a recap. What did you talk about yesterday? What was the outline? What are the main points?
It was an opportunity for us to lay a hopefully solid theological background to the book, because as you define things here in chapter 1, as you get further into the book, then unless you have a clear understanding of what John is trying to accomplish with some of the words that he uses, we would tend to throw some Pauline thought into it. And so we're throwing the Apostle Paul in his words, though they're saying the same thing, just from a different perspective. What we really were talking about is, what does it mean to have fellowship with God? And the points I was trying to accomplish is that we understand that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, and that we have been, as Christians, transferred into the kingdom of light. But what that means is that we have fellowship with God. And so, you hear people say, well, you know, if you sin, then you're out of fellowship with God. Well, if we have fellowship with God, and in fact, Scripture says that we are partakers of His divine nature, how is it that God's going to kick us out? So we have, according to John, and of course throughout Scripture, that we have fellowship with God. That is one of the things about being a Christian. If we are a Christian, we have unbroken fellowship with God. And then I moved on into chapter 2 and talked about how we have Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sin. And I know that's a big word, and we can talk about that more, but that because of that, if you take the chapter 2 and then look at 1 John 1:9, which we use in a weird way sometimes, but it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. It doesn't say He's merciful and graceful, which He is both.
Yeah.
But because He's talking about the wrath of God or the justice of God, that when we have that and says He is faithful and just, the propitiation is that He satisfied the requirements of justice. Mm. And so that's where that came in. We talked about that. And then finally, about what do we do if we sin? Well, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, and kind of left it with, you know, what kind of advocate would Jesus be if every time we got into trouble, He's like, yeah, no thanks, I'm not going to deal with that. But the truth is, He has already paid for every sin. He paid the price for our sin, past, present, future. And so really the dynamic is, what does it mean to be in fellowship with God, which equals eternal life and equals that we are in fellowship with Him and that we are truly disciples of His.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of groundwork. I mean, we're entering in, we're reading this book maybe differently than people pull out passages, right, from 1 John all the time. They're proof texts. So they have this point, they're going to pull them out. But the goal of going through a book expositionally, you know, verse by verse as we're doing, is we've got to set up these themes. And in the ones you just mentioned were darkness, light, sins, you know, the work of Jesus, fellowship. These are themes that are going to be throughout the book. And so taking some time to really say, what did John mean by them? And then looking back and how do you figure that out? So really good message yesterday, really good setup, but also really practical for us, this idea of what does it mean to be in the light as God is in the light. So Doug, what else, you know, yesterday, a lot of information, a lot of setup, a lot of defining words. What did you leave on the table? What would you have wanted to spend more time on in your sermon if you had it yesterday?
Well, the great news is I have next week, because that's really the way I studied this passage is to be a part one and a part two. And so there were some things that were sort of left on the table that I will definitely cover next week. And that is that question of, what does it mean? What about if we sin? Mm. Right? Because that's the way chapter two really started. Yeah. Now, if you sin, and he goes on and talks about that. And so as I finish up a few more, I think I only have three verses to cover next week, which will be amazing, because I will actually go back to verse two and just flow all the way through that. It's really, I think, just helping people understand the question of what it means to be in fellowship with God. And yeah, if an underlying theme of this book is that we might have assurance, that we may know that we are His. And we read this book as a positive thing that God, you know, John wants us to know, if you know Him, man, here's what it means. And so I think I would have, if I had had time to do part two, I would have had, gone ahead and done that. But I think really, trying to help people understand that if we believe in, as we as Baptists say, security of the believer, if we believe once saved, always saved, whatever all that means, that if we are His children, we can know that we have fellowship with God. We have an advocate who is Jesus Christ, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that cannot and will not ever leave us.
So, I want to go back to something you said a few weeks ago whenever you were entering the sermon. Was you're mentioning how, you know, John in many ways is writing this letter to the original audience because there was teachers in the early church that had left, that were started teaching something different than what the apostles were teaching. And part of what I think we're supposed to wrestle with is what do you do whenever you have leaders, when you have people up at the top that start making different theological choices? And what do you have if someone, you know, today's language, deconstructs or renounces orthodoxy or takes Christianity to left field a little bit? You as a Christian, someone who've been following, you know, these people who've been teaching you, how do you handle that? And then that could even lead you to start questioning your own faith.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is that really is what John is trying. It's very practical for today, because that's the issue back then, is what do you do whenever leaders lead a different direction? And how does that affect your faith, and where does it go from there?
Right, and I would say that's really even the question today, which makes this book so relevant to what's going on, is as Christians, what do we do? Well, we talk about going back to the creeds. We go back to here are the early beliefs, and that doesn't change. Really, what we're doing when we say that we go back to the text, we go back to Scripture, is we're doing exactly what John said. Look, I'm an eyewitness. This is what we saw and what we heard. This is what I'm teaching. Now, if something else is contrary to that, then come back to this test. This is what it means to be a teacher, right? And so today, when we always go back to, you hear someone, you say, okay, someone said this, we go back to the text, right? We go back to what Scripture says and say, okay, but this is the way it was taught and the way Scripture, this is the way the apostles saw it. And this is the way we move forward.
It doesn't have to cause you to stumble or reevaluate your hope. But that's what's happening, is sometimes we put our faith in people, not in the message.
Right.
And so really where we were this week was this message of what did Jesus do. Well, I want to ask one more question, kind of centering in on that. So Doug, at the very end of 2, maybe you'll pick this up a little bit next week, but you get this phrase that is most people's translations may be all over the place. It could be atonement, it could be atoning sacrifices, it could be propitiation, it could be expiation. There's all these theological words trying to understand what we hear. I think you used the word propitiation earlier, but in 1 John 2:2, talking about Jesus being the propitiation or this atoning sacrifice for our sins. Can you just give a little bit of theological background? Because that is the heart of what where John is going, in the heart of your message, of what is the good news of the gospel and what did Jesus do for us on the cross? What did he do for us? What did he accomplish for us?
Yeah. So there's a story Jesus tells about the sinner who is speaking, praying to God, and he uses the word, and most translations say, where he says, be merciful to me, the sinner. The word for be merciful is be propitious, be merciful to us. And it's the same word that's used here. So when we look at propitiation, a lot of times people say, well, it's satisfying the wrath of God. And so now you have this picture of a mean God up there just wanting to wipe out all of mankind. Yeah. And thankfully, Jesus steps in between and says, no, don't be so mad at him. I've got it. That's not the reality to me. I think when we look at propitiation, God, here's the best way for me. God is holy. As we just read, in Him there is no darkness at all. God is holy. How do we, as unholy, fallen people, approach a God who is holy? If God does not have the punishment satisfied, right? Mm-hmm. You have then there's
justice.
No justice at all.
Yeah.
Which is why we talked about it. We went back to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Well, in the context of that, the apostles are saying, this is what we've already done. We have. If you've confessed your sins, you're in the light. Mm-hmm. If you've confessed your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. And I love that it was forgive and cleanse, because I like to talk of the two aspects that you have: the cleansing, which is the payment. The price has been paid. The forgiveness is the sending away, like the satisfaction of that. And sometimes you can look at, like in the Old Testament, where you had the two goats, you had one that was sacrificed, you had one that was sent away. So there are lots of pictures all through Scripture that talk about it. But to simply state it, The God is holy and God is just.
Yeah.
And justice only occurs is if you set a standard and it's broken, that there is a punishment for that.
Yeah.
If you just say, nah, no big deal. It's like universalism. You know what? It really doesn't matter. However you live, everybody's going to end up in heaven anyway. Everybody's going to be saved. That's not justice. And so we love justice. God is just. And he says there is a price to be paid for this. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And that's the assurance that we can have that I think John is trying to help us understand is, and I mentioned this in the sermon is, you know, does anyone worry about we're going to get to heaven and go, oh no, I forgot to confess that one. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't worry about that? Well, that's not assurance. But if we have, if every bit of this has been laid upon Jesus and his sacrifice on a cross, then I know when I stand before God, I can worship and know that I am there only because Jesus said I could be there. And it's not anything that I've done. Not good, not less bad.
Mm.
It's because of that satisfaction of the justice of God. So that's the way I would...
Yeah, no, I heard you say two things, this idea of justice and cleanse. And it goes back to what you mentioned earlier, even in this podcast, in 1:9, right? That he is faithful and just. And so you get these two concepts of our sins are forgiven. Justice has been accomplished.
Yes.
But there's also a cleansing. There's a relationality.
That's right.
There is a two-part to what Jesus does for us on the cross, which is he handles the sin, then he invites us to be in a relationship. And that really is the core of what John's going to be in is your sins have been handled, now be in relationship. And you kind of get these two parts. That is the core of the gospel. You're not just forgiven and God says, okay, now go off and whatever. He wants to be in relationship right. with us.
And I think that's what's going to happen as we go on with this. These words matter.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Am I not in relationship? Because you have relationship, you have fellowship. Next week, I'm going to talk about what it means to abide, because that's really what John's trying to say. You're in fellowship,
yeah.
but abide in me. Wait, some people would say, aren't those the same? No, fellowship is our position. This is where we are. Mm-hmm. Abiding is that dependence. And so what happens when we sin? We're dependent on ourselves.
That's right.
We're making what we want to be that idol instead of being dependent. So there's going to be a lot of language. I hope everybody will hang in there with us because it's going to be a lot of definitions along the way.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited about it. Pastor Doug, thank you so much for another great and faithful message. And thank you for listening to our Monday recap. Hopefully today was useful and beneficial as you just continue to think about Sunday and making it apply to your Mondays. We hope you'll join us next week on Sunday morning and for another podcast afterwards. See ya.